There's no waste at the altar. And so before we jump into scripture at all, I want this moment to not just pass by as another transition of this service. I want this to be a place where we can surrender right now at the altar. So with your eyes closed, I want you to think about the things you walked in this building with. The struggles you're going through. That fear and anxiety we just sang about. That relationship that's struggling in your life. Whatever it is, I want you to just to imagine it for a second. And I want you to picture whatever it is that you walked in here with. I want you to imagine it in your hands as you lay it at the altar. Or I want you to imagine laying it at the feet of Jesus. Or I want you to imagine it laying at the foot of the cross. Because I truly believe that God has something for all of us today. And that when we clear our minds, we make room to learn, be refreshed by who he is. It's in those moments that we realize how much he loves us, how much he wants to take care of us, and that we have the option of laying all of our burdens, our sins, the shame, our issues, our struggles, our fear, our anxiety, at the altar, at his feet. So God, we just thank you for this moment right now. Before we jump into anything, God, you allow us to be still, to cry out to you. Father, it is because of you that we get to learn more about what it looks like to be a follower of you, Jesus. So we love you. We thank you for these songs. We thank you for this time. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys can take a seat. Good morning. How we doing? I'm going to say this. First service had a lot of energy. All right? So y'all better bring it. Are we cool with that? Let's try that again. Hey, good morning. Yeah! Wait, hold on. This is kind of cheating because if you guys know Josh Field, John's son, he brought like every person he knows from Biola. Like, yeah. So you guys are naturally going to have a louder service because of this row right here. I think it's like 19 of them stayed at John's house, like on the floor. But like, those are some brave, brave people right there. Brave head pastor, Amy. I know you probably cooked for all of them too. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I love it. Hey, well, first, I want to start before we jump into anything. I want to invite a special team up. This Friday, we have a team of teenagers and some youth workers who are headed to Ireland on a mission trip. And there we go. This is some of the team. Some couldn't make it to second service, but we are really excited. We're headed to Ireland on a short-term mission trip, or what we are calling a discovery trip. We are partnering with Phil and Cheryl Kingsley, some of our global partners, with them, meeting them there and walking us through some things there. But I want them to share a little bit about it before I talk.
My name's Bella. It's actually insane to think that we started planning this trip back in August. It's been such a long journey. And to think of all the doors that God has opened to give everybody on this team an opportunity to even just raise upwards of $3,000 to go on this trip is absolutely amazing to even think about. And our main goal in Ireland is genuinely to find where God is. Like, where is God in Ireland? And the idea of being able to have conversations, even just on the side of the street with a random person, and to plant seeds and to share how God has been in our life to them when they haven't had the opportunity to do so in such genuine ways that we have is actually insane. And I'm just genuinely grateful.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Seb. This is really exciting. And some of you might be like, why Ireland? Why not somewhere else in the world? Well, we're going there just to find like where God is, whether that's in the churches, the schools, some random person in a cafe. We're trying to just meet them where they are. And if we're given the opportunity to plant that seed to maybe grow into something huge one day. So I'm really excited to go and share my story and where my community is through my photography and where I live in the community and everyone around me. And I'm really excited to share that with everyone there. I'm also really hoping to bring back just stories from people there and bring them to the light here and share something that people might not realize about their experiences over there.
Yeah, thank you guys for sharing. Man, we are really excited, and we've been planning for the past few months and practicing and going through what it looks like to share their story with people in Ireland. And so you might think, you know, how crazy it is that people from America are being sent to Ireland, but that is where Europe and the whole area is at as far as just religion and following Jesus. And so we are partnering with some people there who are going to show us what it looks like to live there, and then we're going to have conversations with people in the streets, in cafes, and on the train, whatever it looks like for us to share the gospel. And so we have been walking through the book of Matthew, which we'll talk about in a second, and we got to see how important it is to share the gospel with people who don't know who Jesus is. And so it's going to be the seeds that are planted for the whole 7 days we're there. It's going to be, you know, we're praying for the Holy Spirit to nudge us towards areas of people who need to hear about who Jesus is. Maybe that can be them accepting Christ. We make the joke of baptizing people in a random fountain. Whatever it takes, we are excited just to have that seed be planted as Jesus will work in the lives of these teenagers and hopefully just changing lives around the world. And so my big prayer and ask for the church, for you guys, is for this next week and the week that we will be gone, is to pray for them. They are going to be talking to strangers. And I know if we were to raise our hands, some of us would be like, I would never do that. And that is that brings some fear. And I want them to feel comfortable in their story and talking about the best part of their life, which is Jesus. And so we're going to talk about that. So please continue to keep praying for them as they have those conversations. And in this moment, we just want to pray. So if you feel comfortable, you don't have to, if you don't want to, if you can just extend a hand to them, and I'm going to have Sophia pray over our team.
Gracious Father, how sweet is this that we get to send a team of high school students from America all the way to Ireland, Lord. And that seems silly maybe, but the truth is, how powerful is it going to be when people in Ireland realize this teenager from America came all the way here to remind me that Jesus loves me. And so, Lord, we just lift up this team that they would be bold, that nothing would hinder them from saying yes to every opportunity that you give them along the way. And, Lord, we pray that you would be softening hearts there in Ireland, just preparing people there for us and for the conversations that we're going to have, Lord. All the checklist has been marked off. They've gotten passports. They've raised the funds, like Bella said. But, Lord, really the hardest part is surrendering to the Holy Spirit's promptings. And so, Lord, I pray that you would fine-tune our ears and our hearts to the whisper of the Holy Spirit speaking when it's time for us to engage with somebody. And, Father, even more than that, I just pray that it wouldn't end in Ireland, but they would come home and they would continue, Lord, to share the good news of the gospel right here, Father. I pray that you would just fill them with the Holy Spirit in a way that makes them stand out everywhere that we go. Lord, keep us healthy. Just get us there safely and back. And Father God, I pray that for those that are praying for us while we're gone, Lord, that you would be doing something mighty in their hearts, Lord. And maybe they too would be just a little more bold and brave. And right here, while they wait for us to come back, that they would be engaging with people on the streets and in their workplaces, Lord, and just letting them know how much Jesus loves them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Can we just thank the team? Can't wait, man. I'm really excited. Another prayer is I have to drive a car on the opposite side of the road. Guys, I can barely drive a car here. So please pray for me. All right, let's open up our Bibles. We're going to jump into it. I've got 28 minutes left. All right, so let's jump in. I want you to grab your Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in that seat back pocket. Feel free to take that. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to gift you a Bible as well, okay? So we want to make sure you have the opportunity to read the Word of God. We are going to flip to Matthew. I want you to flip over to Matthew. Flip open to Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew 20. For those who don't know, I mentioned earlier, I'm Austin. I'm the youth pastor here. I've been the youth pastor for a handful of years now. I grew up in this church since I was 8 years old, so I got to walk through both middle school, high school, youth group, all of that. I've been on the stage a lot of just like kids choir, baptizing kids, speaking. I got to do my first funeral yesterday, which is my grandpa's. And so that's a privilege and an honor to do that. I wasn't going to cry. Great. And so it's an honor to be up here to speak and to read scripture with you guys. And with youth ministry, we have been walking this entire year into the book of Matthew. Every week has been a different chapter. So we've encouraged them to read one chapter that week, and then we would be talking about a certain paragraph or a part of Matthew. And so by the end of our school year, we have read through the book of Matthew. And so our teenagers have got to experience the life of Jesus in his 33 years walking as we read the first book of the Gospels, which is amazing. I would love to just celebrate that. If you all want to celebrate the students, they are going to say they walked through the book of Matthew together. And so I want us just to talk about what that looks like on something we got to discuss in our youth ministry. And so we are going to be reading out of Matthew 20, and you're going to be going to verse 29 through 34. If you're there, say a word. That is not a lot of you. All right. If you're there, say a word. I told you, I need your energy. All right? For a service, it's crazy. It'll be on the screen if you want to read it with us as well. But at this point, we all give you some little bit of a background here. This is probably one of the last miracles you'll see of Jesus before the Great Entry or Passion Week begins. And as you know, the next few weeks, we're celebrating both Palm Sunday, we have Good Friday, and Easter, which if you haven't made those plans yet, please do. We'd love to see all three of those here starting next Sunday. But these are the verses that are right before that. So I am looking at setting this up for you for when you return next Sunday, okay? So what we're seeing is a miracle about to happen, or I would say it's probably one of the last ones. And what comes after this is you have the entry of Jesus as he is sharing on Palm Sunday, as we know about. Then it goes into what we know as the resurrection. You have these warnings that he gives, which can sometimes bring some fear. So you know what comes after this. But this is one of the most important moments, I think, because it's one of the last miracles you have of Jesus before he continues to share about parables, warnings. Then you know what happens to him. If you don't, come in a couple of weeks. It'll be a surprise for you. And so it's exciting to read this. And let's just jump into it. Verse 29. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately they received their sight and followed him. I want to stop there. What I want to do right away is I want to give you my 2 points. A lot of times I like to have points where you get to take away and have those conversations later and you learn from it what I would be interpreting from scripture. And I want to give you 2 points. So if you write notes, I always encourage our students to take notes. That could be on your phone, in your journal, Bible, notebook, whatever you need. But I want you to write these down because this is what today's really going to be about. And we'll look at it now and probably at the end as well. It's this: Jesus doesn't look at you and wish you were someone else. That by itself is amazing. Jesus doesn't look at you and wish you were someone else. I'll explain why that is important soon. And 2, crying out to God can sound different for everyone. Crying out to God can sound different for everyone. These are my 2 points, almost like a spoiler. I want you to think about these two. Hopefully you've written them down. That when we read scripture today, we go through this and we talk about some of this interpretation and we look at how we can apply. I want you to know that this is where I'm headed. Those are the 2 things. Because those are 2 things that do matter when we look at the scripture. And how I'm going to do this for today, normally I also bring some kind of challenges or I want to be clever on how things, how you would see and write it down. What I want to do today is I want to give you a handful of questions that you then can take with you that when you go to lunch after this or when you have dinner tonight or when you're driving back to Biola, whatever that is, I want you to have these conversations. And so these are questions I think are going to benefit you when looking at scripture. You take it apart, and then you get to realize, how does that apply to you? In youth ministry, we go through something called the Poema Plan. I learned this one through my Bible college, and it's preparation, observation, interpretation, meditation, and application. It's the way that we plan scripture and how we plan our youth nights for our students to see scripture fully, to see what it means in that context, how can we interpret it, then we sit with it, and then we ask ourselves, how does that apply to me? I want the same thing for us today. So I want to walk through this, and then we have a couple questions of how we're going to go through it. But you have Jesus, right? He's got his 12 disciples with him, and he's walking, and they're about to leave Jericho. There's a large crowd following him. I would say he's kind of mixed up in it. I don't want to say he's the one leading it. I can imagine people being all around. Think about how loud that crowd could have been, right? Think about all the people around just talking. They're probably witnessing what Jesus just did and like, did you even see that? They're now walking and following him. Then all of a sudden, you have a moment where two blind men start to yell out. Here's what I want you to know too. It doesn't give us the description of how or if they were just partially blind, if they were born with it. It was something that came later in their life. All we know is that they were blind and that they were on the side of the road. And in that moment, all of a sudden, they probably hear a large crowd going by. They probably either know that it's Jesus or they can maybe partially see that it's Jesus, but they know. Here's some things I want you to think about. When they yell out to Jesus, it says they shouted. They said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. They call out Lord, so they know his authority. They know who he is and how to address him. Then the next part is they say the Son of David, which means they know the line that he comes from. They know that he is related to who once was the king, which probably means there's royalty connected, which means if there's a crowd that big and there's royalty, that means there's probably riches, which probably means at that point they can cry out saying, I can maybe gain money out of this. Now put yourself into the two blind men position there. In this time and in this culture and in this context, they are not looked at to be a part of the culture. They are on the side of the road to the place where you can see how they are ignored. And what they would probably do is they would be begging for money in that moment, and they would get what someone would give them, and they'd probably use it to stay at an inn or for food, and that's how they would make their days meet, and they would just live their life like that until maybe they would be helped. And that's where we get to this part today. Crowd goes by, and they yell. So they think, man, we know the authority. They say, Lord, Son of David. They know maybe there's some riches connected to it. They say, have mercy on us. Or maybe in your translation, it could say, have pity on us. But then here's what happens. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. This large crowd is saying, I'm not going to listen to you. Shh. Like, this is Jesus. So what do they do? They could have stopped talking at that moment and just gone throughout their day and their life. But they thought in this moment, this is where I'm going to shout and yell louder because this is my chance to be healed, to earn something from Jesus. So they yell it again. And they say, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Then here's what happens. All of a sudden, Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered. And I can imagine in this moment, there was a pause. They had a chance to think. What is it in this moment that I get to answer this question with? Is it that I want money? Can you help me in some way? And they decide to say, we want our sight. And here's what Jesus did in verse 34. Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. Here's the question that I want you to look at. I'm going to give you two at a time for the most part. And I want you to write these down because I would love for you to have these conversations with the people around you later. First one is this. What voices, friends, fear, pride, insecurity, try to keep you from calling out to Jesus honestly? The reason why I ask this question is I want you to look at the scripture that goes with it. So there are voices of a crowd around them. The first time they yell out, they tried to yell to Jesus. And the reason why it didn't work was because the crowd rebuked them and was probably too loud. When we had this conversation with our youth group, we had a student said, can you imagine how loud it was? Like, can you imagine that crowd that was following and they were talking? If everyone in this room right now was talking really loud, I had no microphone and I'm trying to yell to someone outside, imagine what that would look like. Like, I would have to yell as loud as I can to reach whoever I'm trying to reach. So for you, I want you to think about that. What voices, which could be friends, could be fear, pride, insecurities, are trying to keep you from calling out to Jesus honestly? What are the voices around you, that's you surrounding yourself, that are maybe causing you, that you're yelling, but those voices around you are a little too loud? Maybe it's the pride that we might have for ourselves that we're not yelling loud enough. We're giving what would be just a whisper or just a low voice because we don't know what will actually happen. What voices are trying to keep you from calling out to Jesus honestly? What that takes is this, which goes to our next question, is what would bold faith look like for you right now? Because bold faith is probably what would lead you to yell louder. The faith you might have right now might not be as bold as you need for the prayers you're trying to yell out to Jesus. Like if we had a bolder faith, and maybe that's you because that's also me, if I had a faith that was bold and I can yell louder and louder at who Jesus is, maybe that's when he would stop and call us. Here's what I want to look at. Same area. When they yelled out the first time, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us," the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. When we talk about this crowd, maybe we forgot, but this is probably a crowd that is already following Jesus. I'll say it again. This is a crowd that is following Jesus. Meaning that the crowd that's trying to rebuke the people who are in need are the ones who are following Jesus. That's harsh. How many of us either know, have experienced, where there's people who follow God, but we're not reaching other people? There's people who are in need, and what we're doing is keeping our faith to ourselves. There is no bold part of the faith. Ultimate commandment, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which a lot of us can say that is where we're at. Then on the other side, this is just as equal, is love your neighbor as your... A lot of us are missing this part. What we see in this crowd right now is that they are understanding the part of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We see how important that is. But the bold faith is leaving us out saying, we're not going to talk to the person on the side of the road. Those people who are in need. The people we know who need to follow Jesus. In my own life, I've got friends who don't know who Jesus is. And how many times have I walked past the opportunity to invite them to church, to invite them to a Palm Sunday, to invite them to Easter, to experience the love of Jesus that I've had my entire life, that they now have the opportunity. Kelly, who's on staff here, has a quote that she spoke at youth group one time, and I love it, and that's why I'm stealing it, is she said that you can be the only Bible that someone hears. You can be the only Bible that someone hears. So if you put that in perspective, if you're the reason why someone could accept Christ or not, you're the Bible that they can hear, how would they interpret Scripture? How would they interpret the Jesus that we follow? The crowd that is trying to rebuke them was trying to stop them to be with Jesus. Let's be the ones who allow them to see who Jesus is and guide them to them. Here's what I want you to see what happens next, though. Jesus stopped and called them. Jesus stopped and called them. There's been times where we, this is including myself here, we have bold prayers, and so we start to cry out to the Lord, and we might say things like, God, help me in this season. We're crying out by saying, I'll tell you what my prayers have been. My prayers have been this: God, I'm comfortable in my position and I love serving youth, but God, put me in an uncomfortable position that I can learn more about who you are. When I said amen, I was like, great. What is God gonna reveal to me? That prayer was powerful and now I'm scared. What is that uncomfortable part that God's gonna put me in? What is it that's gonna allow me to speak in areas where I would normally say no? What conversation am I going to have with someone who doesn't believe in Jesus that is going to make me feel uncomfortable? I don't know what your prayer is, but sometimes when we say it louder and louder, we're reminded that Jesus then stops and calls us to him. That's scripture, not even on my own interpretation. That's what we just saw. He stopped in the middle of his crowd. Then he calls them to him. You know what happens a lot of times? What I do is I pray and then I sit like this. All right, God. Like, when are you going to answer my prayer? When God's saying, no, I stopped it. I'm ready for you to come see me. It takes the actions of following who Jesus is and having a relationship with him after we call out to him to try to figure out who Jesus is, that we then go to him. Then what does he do? He gets to the people and he says this: what do you want me to do for you? What do you want for me to do to you? He asked. In that moment, the two blind men had the opportunity to say a lot of different things. But they wanted their sight. Said, this is the thing that they wanted to live without. And I want us to look at it in this way for us. Maybe some of us have these bold prayers that we're scared to ask God for. But if we yelled a little bit louder, We can see how God's going to answer it. And hear me when I say this as well. It might not always be the answer that you wanted. It's the answer that God wanted. Because what could be good to God could also not look good to us. But God's going to give us what's best for us. Because he's a good and loving God. Could that be through a trial? Yes. Could that be answered immediately? Yes. But know that our answer could look different than what God's answer is. I want my next question to be this. Why is it that the crowd tried to quiet the blind man? Why is it that the crowd tried to quiet the blind man? The next one, what does this show of the culture in this time? With your own answers, and hopefully you're kind of answering in your head, but when you look at why is it that the crowd tried to quiet the blind men, it's because they thought that they weren't worthy of it. And so we talk about loving our neighbor as ourselves. We have to understand that's going to look that's going to look like people who are different than us, people who disagree with us, people who hate us for following God. It's not always going to be the people who look like you, who you get along with, who agree with you. Then that leads to this. What does this show of the culture in this time? I believe it shows the same culture we live in today. Too many of us have people who are following Christ who don't want to help others. We have too many people who are trying to keep us from getting to Jesus, if that's you who are in that place of saying, I'm trying to yell out to him, who are trying to cause us to not be a part of Jesus. And I know that's very true for our students and what they're surrounded with. And I know that's also true for the adults in the room. My next question is this. And this one is a very powerful question. It really just comes from Scripture. But if Jesus asked you, what do you want me to do for you? How would you respond? If Jesus asked you, what do you want me to do for you? How would you respond? Would you pause in that moment like the two blind men and think about, is this the moment I can say, I want to be rich. I want a good life. I want this. I want that. Would you pause and would you allow the part where you yelled out to him as loud as you can to now become the quiet voice because you're close to Jesus? The two blind men were far from him with a crowd in between, and they're yelling as loud as they can. Then they realize from that moment, I'm going to now walk to Jesus because he called us and he stopped. That now he's close to him and they're probably not yelling anymore. They are close to him. To translate that for us is what is that looks like, at least for I would, my hope for you would be living in a relationship with him. So this goes for those in the room who've been in a relationship with Jesus for a long, long time. Or some in this room who are still struggling, or some who just do not believe. Between wherever you're at in your relationship with Jesus, this could be true for you. If you're new to faith and you've never even really cried out, here's how I would picture this for you. Cry out to the Lord and yell as loud as you can. Then don't just sit there like this and hope that he's gonna answer it. Follow the bold faith and take those steps towards him and live in a relationship that gets so close to him that he then asks that question. If Jesus asked you, if you were to say, what do you want me to do for you? Your answer wouldn't be yelling anymore. You'd be so close to him that you can whisper it to him. Then in that moment, you have the decision to say the bold faith, the bold prayer. Knowing that you have a relationship with Jesus, knowing that the outcome is going to be what's best that he believes in for you. So is it going to be the same answer that you want? Possibly. Is that always going to be true? No. So no matter where you're at, I want you to look at how we can continue to cry out to the Lord in our bold prayers. I want us to see what it looks like to follow him and have a relationship with him. Then because of that, we then get so close when he stops and he's ready to listen to you. He asks you that question that you then get to share because you have a relationship with him, the truth of how you feel, of what you need, and he gets to answer it. I want to end with this too. Verse 33, Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and he touched their eyes and immediately they received their sight. Here's the most important part. They followed him. Three words that we can easily miss because the chapter just ends. And followed him. They didn't just go, God, thank you. That was sick. I'm so glad you answered that prayer. I'm out. I'll see you later. You know what they did? They decided to follow him. They thought, this is crazy. My prayer was answered in the way that he wanted it. I had the relationship with him. I cried out to him as loud as I can, even when the people around me disagreed. Even when no one helped, I'm crying out to the Lord because I know that he can listen to me, that he can help me, he cares for me. I want a relationship with him. I hear from him. And because of that, we want to have the opportunity to then follow him. And so if you're in this room and you've never made that decision to follow him because you're scared to cry out in those prayers, I want you to understand that this is a safe place to be able to talk about those things. Allow the people in the prayer area after to pray with you. But I want to go back to those two points I had at the beginning. Jesus doesn't look at you and wish you were someone else. Jesus didn't look at the two blind men and wish they were part of the crowd. He stopped and saw them as valuable. He stopped and saw them as meaningful and said, they need to hear from me. And he asked them a question. And next is this, and I want to end with this. Crying out to God can sound different for everyone. For those in this room, different ways, if you've had a relationship for a long time, crying out can look like the prayers you've been having. You maybe seem to yell a little louder. Maybe some of you in this room have never yelled out to God like these people are on the side of the road. Maybe today's the day that you have a bold prayer and you say, I'm going to yell out, although I know it's going to make my stomach hurt, although I'm going to get nervous. I want to have my prayer be yelled through the crowd so Jesus can hear me. And lastly, there are people we know who need to be here in the next 2 weeks. There's people we know who need to be here in the next 2 weeks. And the way, which is why I have this, crying out to God can sound different for everyone. Because there are probably people you know who don't believe in God or don't have a relationship with God. Maybe in the same level as you do, or maybe that you just know that they don't. They're crying out, I really do believe this. Their crying out is not always going to be to God. That doesn't mean they're not crying. There's people in my life who I've had conversations with who did not reach out to God for help. They reached out to me. And now I get to be the example of pointing them back to who Jesus is. So were they still crying out? Yes. Was it to God? No. Did it lead them to God? Yes. How many people can you help when they're crying out to God or to you that you can guide them back to Jesus? Listen, I want to pray, and I hope that these questions are something that you can feel challenged, convicted by, have open conversations, but when you leave for when you go to lunch, when you have dinner tonight, when you drive home, let me pray. Father, with our eyes closed, God, we just want to thank you right now, God, for the scripture that you've given us. God, what a layout that it is for the weeks to come. God, it even is amazing to see the preparation of this historical content where you have healed these two blind men who are crying out to you, and now they get to be a part of the crowd that follows you into your entry. Into Passion Week. So Father, I pray right now for everyone in this room, God, for the things that they want to surrender at your feet. The things that they want to cry out to you, God, even when the people around them are trying to rebuke them and stop them. God, I pray that we can have bold prayers. Father, I pray right now, God, I pray that there are people in this room who will make the decision to follow you. That they will now be all in. I pray that we can cry out to you as loud as we can, that we start to follow you, God, in this relationship we have, that we're so close to you that now when you ask us the question of what do we need, what do we want, that we can whisper it to you because we're so close to you. God, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for reminding us that you don't wish we were someone else. That you love us of who we are right now. And you call us. You stop in your place and you call us to you. So Father, I pray that the people in this room, when we decide to follow you, God, when you call us, that we are reminded right now, God, that we can stumble at your feet. We don't need to sprint. God, we don't need to have our whole lives put together and be perfect, but God, you would actually rather us stumble at your feet, because that's what this looks like to follow you, is stumbling and coming back to the cross, coming at your feet, God, and knowing that you were there with us, helping us and guiding us. Allow us to stumble at you, God. We love you. God, I pray for the conversations that happen today after, that will allow us to grow in this relationship we have with you, Father. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.